afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Monday. Oh, what a day it's been. It's Monday, October 18th, 2021. I got a little bit of your southern slang there, Butch. Hope it's not contagious.
We'll learn you how to talk. Don't you worry. We'll learn you. How are you doing, Melody?
I'm doing great, thanks.
You sound chipper.
It's been a hectic couple of days. We got a little bit behind because it took product. Just seemed like forever to get product, and then it came all at once. And so now we're just trying to get caught up on the shipping, and, you know, I'm blessed and I'm thankful for all of our customers who, you know, trust Discount Gold and Silver and, you know, make orders with us. So I am highly appreciative, but sometimes beyond, you know, any of our fault, product just doesn't get here when they say it's supposed to get here for whatever reason, and it puts us all behind. So, and it's just to catch up, it's just so I worked this weekend and worked all day yesterday and Saturday, and I'm pushing the girls to no end, so they're getting a little frustrated with me. Come on, let's go. I sound like an army sergeant or marine sergeant.
Like a drill sergeant, okay.
But I do it nicely.
Okay,
but anyway.
Yeah.
I do. So let's go ahead and see what gold...
Well, I believe you.
Yeah, you didn't sound that way.
Well, I'm trying to be so polite and so nice here today, so...
Okay, let's be this way. All right, gold today was down $2.90. Oh, Lord. $1,765 at $1,765 off the high. Silver was down 13 pennies today at $23.27. Platinum was down $19 at $1,040. Palladium was down 60 bucks, almost 3% at $2,102. The USDX today was stronger by 0.02, 93.96. Crude oil was up 18 pennies at 82.46. Paper markets today, they were negative in the beginning, so the day, a couple hundred points, but the Dow was the only one stayed negative by 36 points. 35,258. S&P was up 15 at 44.86. NASDAQ was up 124, 15,021. And Asian markets, let's take a peek at those, were negative. Hang Seng was higher. Europe was negative across the board. Bonds, I saw this morning, it was like 1.61. Right now, we're just at 1.59 on the 10-year yield. So, there you have it. It's been, hectic days. And there should be, I think there's a song like that, Hectic Days and Hectic Nights. No, not quite, but anyway,
I think
Butch.
It's Lonesome Days, Lonesome Nights. That's close enough.
Well, the music was right, you know? So.
Oh, my. It's Monday, folks. It's almost past Friday. Anyway, it's Monday.
I know. But, here we go. Here's a quick one. I'm just going to do the headline. And Jerome Powell, you know, the head of our Federal Reserve,
yes.
He sold more than $1 million of stock as the market was tanking. But, hey, you know what? These people shouldn't own stocks, you know? It's just, you know? They shouldn't, but he sold between 1 million and 5 million. Well, that's a pretty big gap, isn't it? 1 million or 5 million, which of, you know, from his personal account on October 1st, 2020. This was according to a disclosure forms reviewed by the prospect. Powell's sale of shares from a Vanguard Total Stock Market Index fund has not been previously reported. The sale occurred right before the Dow Jones Industrial suffered a significant drop. Fed media relations spokesperson was not available for comment. Of course not. They'll never be available for this.
No, they just shouldn't be able to. But anyway. So that's what we have. That's who's fighting the cause for the stock market.
Would you think he might be have some inside information?
Do you think?
I think it
like
might
himself.
Be possible.
Like himself.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm gonna do
seeing something.
I could buy the, you know, I'm out there buying corporate debt, you know, so I wonder which one I should buy to make this, yeah, it's amazing. It really is. Nobody
you know,
gives
this,
a hoot.
This is speculation aside, this isn't even the stories I've shared today, but I've been, from good sources, I've been getting a lot of, about three phone calls from people that saying that the military is really on the move, building up a lot of things across our country and different places around the world. It's like you're stocking up on things and getting things to move, moving things around. I don't know what's going on, but a lot of activity, the military all of a sudden. And with what's happening all over the world, and we'll discuss some of it later on, I just wonder if they may expect something. And whenever you have nations who are running out of supplies, who are have the supply lines cut off for whatever reason by the U.S. or anybody else, or simply just can't get supplies in, and people get restless, that can cause wars. It has caused wars. And so I don't know if maybe he's seen something coming. Maybe he realized it's time to move on to something else. I have no idea. But there's a lot of things being talked about that the people that call me that are active members of the service members, that say there's something happening, a lot of activity. Maybe just time of year for practice. I have no idea. But there is something going on.
Well, did you see China's
hypersonic missile?
Hypersonic, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the stories I got here. Yes, yes, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
That's pretty. You know what? It cracks me up, and I heard some of these, you know, current politicians talk about. Well, you know, people just always thought that China would, you know, just come into the realm of things and be a good country and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, they knew better.
Of course.
Yeah, they knew better. I mean, come on. They all did it. They all sold out the United States to China for money. That's it. That's simple.
Of course.
Just for money. Their back pockets, their power, their money. They knew all along. And that's what always cracks me up, Butch. Our demise is all done by Americans buying cheap trinkets so China can continue to do what they're doing.
Well, our loyalty... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's... You know, we pay... We bought it. We paid for it.
We did.
We paid. And you don't have to understand. You don't have to understand hardcore economics and financial. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you're buying things from China, what China is going to do with the money that they make off the American people. They make our flags. They make our Christmas stuff.
They make our medicine. They make everything.
They make our medicine. I mean, come on.
Well, America has become a nation that's all about luxury living at a cheap price. If China gives it to us for that, then we'll take it. We don't care who it... I know this sounds... And maybe a lot of people don't know... Maybe a lot of folks don't understand this, but I think a lot of... Most of them have to. That we're selling ourselves out, our children out, to a nation that doesn't care about us, and they're getting rich off of us. And we have let it happen because it's cheaper and we want it and we're going to get it no matter who makes it, whether it be China or anybody else. We no longer make it in the United States. We've got to buy it somewhere else. Buy it from China. That's so sad. So sad.
It really is. I mean, it's, you know, it's our American dollars. And it's so sad that our politicians opened up this trade so that it could happen.
Yes.
Because they knew what the American people would do.
Nixon started that a long time ago.
You know, they throw all this wealth in front of everybody, and sure, everybody wants to have nice things and so forth. But I'm not so sure it's even nice stuff. The quality stinks. Most of it, anyway. That comes from China. You know, you don't get what you pay for. So, I mean, it's... You know, and hey, it's... You know, I love the... I like going to the dollar store, you know? But, I mean, this is America that has to shop at a dollar store. Doesn't that tell you something?
It should. It should. It should. Well, they have to bring down the wealthiest nation in the history of the world down to a level where they can control us. That's part of the, what they call the Great Reset. We call it New World Order, but they call it Great Reset. And they're getting it done. They're getting it done. In so many different directions, so many different facets of our life are being affected by this. They're getting it done at a very rapid pace right now. I think my George Riley was talking about you. Melody, they really are. It's just sad to see it come to that. But they're getting it done at such a pace, it's almost mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Took them a long time to get all their dominoes in a row. Now they touched them, they're going down fast. They really are.
But, so, yeah, I haven't heard her name in a while.
Well, no, I just think about a minute ago, her commercial was played on an old show, and I think about her. She was a good lady and trying to put out a lot of good stuff and information for people. But anyways, you know, she passed away, and I want to share this with the audience, because I know some of y'all, your listeners, know who Russ Dizdar is, or now was. Russ Dizdar passed away this morning. He texted me last week and said, please play. He's very, very sick. He passed away this morning, and his wife, Shelley, is also very, very ill, so... You pray with that they know who Russ is. Keep his wife in prayer, please, Shelley. It's a sad thing. I mean, it shocked me. 64-year-old gentleman, mighty warrior for Christ. Exposed a lot of evil, a lot of occult works in this nation, and even including among the Amish. He exposed me things, unbelievable things. But he's gone from a front line now. We're going to miss him. But I want to share that. And on another note, you remember Betty Lynn, Thelma Lou, and Ann Griffith Show?
Thelma Lou?
Yeah.
I do.
She passed away at 95.
Was she 95?
She's 95, yep. Yes, she was. You know, we talked about that, but those were back in when they were part of the growing up days in the 60s, for a lot of young ones. Ann Griffith was a decent little show people could watch. My boys got to watch that at home when they were little. Not much else they could watch, but she's gone now. As people dying, Colin Powell died. According to an article here, from COVID. He was vaccinated. That's what the article here says. Former U.S. Secretary of State and Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Colin Powell, has died after receiving the COVID vaccine. The family utilized the General's own Twitter account to make the announcement. Initial reports say he died from complications from COVID, but the effects of the vaccine itself mimic COVID, and the symptoms he died from are those that many vaccinated people suffer after getting the jab. So one insider, it is likely he died from the vaccine itself and not from actual COVID. General Powell's wife also was vaccinated and got COVID. Now let's remind you the immortal words of Joe Biden. This is simple, basic proposition. If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to be in the IC unit, and you're not going to die. Well, Biden was wrong. Powell died. Meanwhile, the U.S. military continues to insist that all troops receive the dangerous and sometimes deadly vaccine or face discharge. I don't rejoice at all in the fact that Colin Powell died. I don't. I don't at all. It's just sad. Really sad. But the article said that the insider said he died from COVID complications because the vaccine had reacted in a way that it took him out. That's all I can say. I didn't make it up. That's just the article. So, folks, just know when you're taking the vax, you're playing Russian roulette with your life, and it might be something you may want to think about and pray about real hard before you do it. I mean, I'm dead serious about that.
But he also had cancer too.
He had cancer.
Whether it was really from the vaccine, whether it's, we don't know. But he did have cancer, and I really do believe there's a personally, what I believe, it's my own opinion, there is a connection between the vaccines and cancer.
Yeah.
Is what I believe.
I won't mention names on the air because the people that you know, and a lot of people know if I mention them, know who they were, but One's a very, well, both of them are friends of mine. One's a very close friend. His sister got the vaccine and had a stroke. Another gentleman's a friend of ours, had got the vaccine about 6 months ago and had a stroke about 2 weeks ago. Now, whether all tied together or not, I don't know. Could be all coincidence. I don't know that.
No, we don't know.
But the lady never had any problems at all before with the heart or anything else, so I don't know. But there's something that if you will go to our website.
How old are they?
Let's see. One's probably 60s. The other one probably about the same, in the 60s.
Yeah. Well, you know,
not old, not young.
You know, one of my high school friends, acquaintance, he was in my class. Let me put it that way. He was in my class, and he was writing on Facebook, and he had cancer. But he was writing on Facebook on how much, because we're having a class reunion next year, so, you know, everybody's kind of paying attention to, you know, our class and so forth. And and this goes back, well, earlier this year, after the vaccines came out. And before that, he was saying how much better he was improving with his cancer, and, you know, he was doing really good, and the prognosis was really good. And, I mean, he was really upbeat about his prognosis and his, you know, where he was heading with his cancer treatments and so forth. And then he went and got the vaccine, and he passed away about a week afterwards. So I really do believe there is a connection between cancer and he was so proud. He was happy that he was going to get the vaccine. He was doing his, what he felt, him as doctors, you know, and I believe that people need to discuss things with their doctors. And, a week later he passed away. And that's why I believe there was, you know, some sort of a connection between cancers and the vaccines. Do I have medical proof? No. But, the sign, the experience, you know, seeing things and knowing things and how people react sometimes can tell you a whole lot.
Absolutely. That's very true. Well, just look at the results coming in from VAERS itself. And that is a very unreported site, but just look what's coming in from there, and then weigh the options. It's not worth the gamble. It's not worth the gamble. It isn't. Mm-hmm. It surely isn't.
It's your individual choice.
Yes, it is. It is.
And it's up to your family and your doctors and so forth for you to. But anyway, what's next?
Well, we're going to go to break. That's coming up in a few seconds.
No, I don't want
to. Not very far. But anyway, Ford removes minimum FICO score requirements for 84-month loans. I thought this was a good move, a telling move. But there comes a break, like I said, so back at the break, we'll finish that.
All right, perfectly, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. Heading to the break, we were talking about Ford.
Ford, and they're
looking to do something, Butch?
They are. You know, of course, everybody knows what our credit score is now. Used to be that was most of them heard of. You worked at a bank and knew you, and you paid your bills. They didn't go check your credit score. They just had faith in you. Well, that's gone. I don't care if you've been at that bank for 30, 40 years, you're still going to check your credit score. If it's too low, they're going to not give the loan or charge more interest, one or the other. That's just the way it is. Well, Ford said there's now officially no longer any minimum credit score necessary to get an 84-month, 7-year car note at Ford. 7 years, Melody. By the grace of God, I've never financed a car more than 3 years. I hate car payments. But 7 years, says, yes, those pesky FICO scores determining who does and who doesn't have the means to pay or a history of paying bills will finally no longer have the leverage over the broke, spent-heavy U.S. consumer. Repeat that. Said this, these pesky FICO scores determining who does and who doesn't have the means to pay or a history of paying bills will finally no longer have leverage over the broke, spend-heavy U.S. consumer. Ford sent out a bulletin to dealers this week announcing they would be removing the requirement. No more credit background check. No matter if you pay bills or not, you want a new Ford, you'll get it. I wonder why they're doing that, knowing that probably if they do this to people that can't pay for it, they're going to end up putting cars out there not going to be paid for.
Yeah, but you know what they also do is, well, it wasn't that long ago I was reading about this guy. I mean, his monthly payments were outrageous because what happens is they do these 7-year loans, and then, hey, we're consumers that get tired of stuff. You know, after, 2 years, we want something better, newer. So they'll trade them in. They go up way upside down, and they do that over a long period of time. So it's just about Ford. It's about them getting more and more money, and taking these people down the path of, eventually they'll default on those loans. But in the meantime, I'll guarantee you, Ford makes far more in interest and everything else than they probably would if they, paid the loan off. So that's what they do. They just churn them. That's so sales. That's America. Turn.
They just pick them up and sell them again? They just pick them up, repo them, and sell them again is what you're saying?
Well, No. What they do is the customers will just trade them in for a new unit.
And buy another one and pay for it
and
6 months
for
the same
one,
thing.
And then they'll pay off the old, but then their payments increase and they're deeper and deeper upside down in their unit. But they'll do that 2 or 3 times. Ford will keep doing it.
And then the housing market did the same thing back around the early 2000s and got themselves in a real bind with this.
Yeah.
You credit anybody who wanted it, and they had to go ahead and get a
bailout.
Right. That we
you
paid
have a pulse?
Yep.
You breathe it?
yeah.
Put a little steam on a mirror? Yeah.
That's what happened. That's really what happened. I mean, and we bailed them out. We paid for get them out of their own stupid move. And that wasn't a stupid move. They knew it was going to happen. I think Ford had done it, obviously. I mean, these people aren't stupid. If they wouldn't be in business making billions. Oh, well, it's just what it is. Alabama school district said they can't feed its students due to supply chain issues with food vendors. Now, I want to share this and make a few comments to go along. How bad are the shortages across the country getting? One Alabama school district is literally running out of food. Alexander City schools have started asking parents to feed their children breakfast. Now, just wait, Ms. Paul, for a minute. Why would you have to ask parents to feed the children breakfast? They can't afford it. Honey Bunch, that's not my fault. That's not your fault. That's not the school's fault. And I'm not being picky here. I'm really not. But parents are supposed to be the front line of provision for their family, not the schools. So to ask parents to feed the children breakfast at home or to send them to school with snacks because the district hasn't received its normal food deliveries from the vendors. Now, again, I'm not knocking people that are hard up for eating. I know some out there. I truly know that. But I also know a lot of people are too lazy to get up and feed the children before school. Why feed them when they go to school and eat anyway? This is ridiculous. I understand the motive behind it. But folks, we just can't feed everybody in the world, and now they're running out of food. I was in the city schools, like many schools across the nation, experiencing supply chain issues with food vendors. As you know, breakfast and lunch is served daily in our schools. In previous weeks, we have not received our food deliveries due to suppliers who are short on supplies, drivers, and even warehouse employees. The district then talks about trying to move vendors and tells parents to feed the children before sending them to school. Maybe I shouldn't have any problem with this. Maybe I should just let it slide and not even think about it. But my children, we fed them. We may not have been eating steak for breakfast, but we fed them. It may have been oatmeal or mush. Most people don't want mush. Yes, probably, but it's good. We have taken action to open accounts with other vendors in an attempt to diversify our supply chains. Breakfast may be impacted more so than lunch in the coming weeks. If possible, we ask that you feed your student. If your student be breakfast prior to school or try to send a snack. First off, it's not the parent's student. It's a parent's child. Some of you have noticed our menus have not been updated regularly. When supplies do arrive, we do not always receive what we have requested, therefore altering the menus. This is a situation that is frustrating for you as a parent and for us, as well as our ability to feed our students is being greatly impacted. Melly, again, I had no problem with the hungry child being fed. But I do have a problem with everybody expecting somebody else to do it for him. I do. I really do. I don't know what to add to that or anything else to say about it. But I always assume it's a parent's responsibility to do the best you can to put something in front of the children for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So if you have any comments, you want to add that, go ahead. But that does bother me quite a bit.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I just listen to what they're saying and thinking, are parents not able to give them a piece of toast and maybe something for breakfast and a glass of milk? I don't know. I just don't know. But I just hate to see the point now the schools are panicking because they can't feed the students. When I thought students were supposed to eat at home, I always did. Maybe I just grew up a different time. I don't know. Maybe people, students in our school were going hungry and I didn't know it. But I always had something to eat before in school in the morning. I always had supper until we got home. We packed the lunch when we didn't have lunch at school, and it cost my parents money when I was in grade school to pay for lunch. It wasn't much, 10 cents a day back then, but a 10-cent dime. A silver dime is worth what today, Melody? About $3?
About.
Okay, so this cost my parents $3 a day to feed us, each of us, $6 a day. So that's, you know, that adds up money, but that's what it cost back then to feed the children a hot lunch at school. We paid for lunches. So I just bring it by as a thought. Tight U.S. job market triggers strikes for more pay. And boy, this is happening. I mean, right now, employers are really hurting for helpers. And the unions take advantage of this. Thousands of workers remain on strike across the United States demanding higher pay and better conditions, despite Hollywood makeup artists and camera operators reaching a deal over the weekend to avoid a walkout. The tight jobs market has only emboldened them. Kevin Bradshaw is an employee at Kellogg's Company, cereal plant in Memphis, Tennessee, where most of North America's frosted flakes are made. He feels anything but great about cuts to health care coverage, retirement benefits, and vacation time. The union officials say the company is pushing for about 1,400 workers on strike since October 5th at plants in Michigan, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, Tennessee. Now, I understand that they want the benefits. I understand that. But who's going to pay for that? We all are, including them. The prices are going to go up. You know, you talked about the post office a while back, Melody, being so far in debt with the retirement plan. And that's so who ends up paying for that? That's why they raise the prices and lower the service. It comes down to the consumer. But on to the article, it says, enough is enough, said Bradshaw, vice president of Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers International Union at the Memphis plant. We can't afford to keep giving away things to a company that financially has made record-breaking returns. Some 60,000 behind-the-scenes workers on movies and TV shows on Saturday avoided joining the Kellogg strikers, but the near walkout was the latest demonstration of force by union members who say they're fed up with meager or no raises and other give-backs. Kellogg officials could not be reached for comment, but have said the company's compensation is among the industry's best. I don't know. I can't say what the ins and outs of that. I don't know all the details. I just know that when somebody gets a pay raise, the company does not eat it. They pass it on to me and you. Is that a fair statement?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think people should have raises. And absolutely. Their wages have not kept up with inflation. And but, hey, the problem is deeper than, you know, just raising them and passing the buck to, you know, to the consumer. You know, that's, you know, it's a big problem.
It is.
But and the problem is, as you mentioned earlier, is, you know, dollar doesn't buy what it did. So yeah, your example earlier was perfect.
It's just a sad time we're living in, but on with the story strikes, farmers and John Deere suppliers worry about strikes' impact. Again, folks, it trickles down to the people that need the items, like food and farm equipment supplies. Farmers and deer and company suppliers are worried about what the strike at the tractor makers' factories will mean for their livelihoods. More than 10,000 deer employees went on strike last week at 14 deer factories in Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Colorado, and Georgia after the United Auto Workers Union rejected a contract offer. The longer the strike continues, the greater impact it will be on communities around the plants. If this gets sorted out in a couple of days, great, Brian Jones, who farms in central Iowa, told the Des Boys Register. If it drags up for weeks, you start to get a little concerned about things. Lance Littlebridge, who farms in eastern Iowa near Cedar Rapids, said he worries about not having parts should his John Deere combine break down. We have a lot of big equipment out there that we're using to bring in and harvest. And if your part breaks down, then we can't get, we're done, said Littlebridge, who is also president of the Iowa Corn Growers Association Board. That will affect, obviously, food supply and prices again. I'm not picking on people for striking. I'm not. I don't know what the reasons are they're striking. Maybe they have been ripped off in the past. I don't know. But every time this happens and something else slows down, it does affect everyone out there, and including the children in school who can't get food. If they can't get the cornflakes, how's Kellogg's going to make them in the first place? They can't get the corn to make them with. These are the things we got to think about. That's what I'm saying. It's a big huge ball of mismanagement and confusion now that's taking this country down to its knees in a lot of different ways. Started big time, of course, with the COVID hoax, because it started out almost two years ago with this COVID. What it may be, it started out with that, brought the world to its knees economically, shut down businesses all over the world, and now it's coming back in different ways to affect all of us, even here in the good old U.S. of A., where as far as I can remember in my lifetime, there was never a shortage of food. Always had something to eat. I mean, if you didn't, it's not because the food wasn't available. Maybe you couldn't afford it, but it was there. The shelves were packed. And I know in a time in my life, Melody, when I went to stores where I couldn't find what I needed or wanted to eat, I can't remember a day in my life where I couldn't find something there that was on the list I wanted to get. But it's starting to happen, isn't it?
It is. But let me ask you a question. Here's another way to look at things. Is there just too much things on the shelves that we really don't need anyway?
Well, I'm sure. No doubt
you know?
About it.
I mean, yeah, we don't need half the crap that's on those shelves anyway.
Yeah, we don't.
So maybe, you know, you can always kind of look at this supply shortage as a good thing if it was handled properly. But when you have, you know, the guy in charge on maternity leave, you know, it's not going to get done. You know, what can I say?
Well, I know that was, no, let's not even go there, okay? I mean, that is unbelievable.
I know.
Unbelievable.
But it's true, though.
When you say that, I'm thinking, that makes me sick in my stomach. But anyway, go ahead.
But I mean, that's they really could sort of begin to make things better, but they're not going to because we know that's not what they want. So we can only hope.
That is what they want.
But you know what? You know what's interesting? I don't mean to change the subject, but I turned on MSNBC. Was it MSNBC this morning? And I can't stomach the station, but every once in a while I do just tune in for the few minutes just to see if they changed, and they haven't, so I switched the station. But it was interesting because they were actually talking about the Democrats in this upcoming elections. And they're talking about how close the Democrats are coming to lose. And this is a liberal station who love their Democrats. And they're talking about, hey, you know what? They were actually talking that if they could get, if another Republican ran other than Trump, it'd be a landslide. And that these Democrats, you know, they've just gone way off base and so forth with these progressives and, you know, and everything. And I thought it was really just a odd conversation to hear coming from these liberals. So well, I just thought it was kind of interesting.
I don't know what the future holds. The election's a year away, right? Midterm elections. It's not that far away, actually. You know, a year is nothing.
Well, you got that one in Virginia with the governor who's a complete... You could probably think of a nicer term for him, but... so his is coming up in a month. So it'll be interesting to see if he... You know, it's supposed to be a tight race, but... I don't know.
Well,
kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
Not to think that putting a Republican in there is going to be any better, but it's kind of interesting that, and we still got 3 years to go. So,
yeah, wow.
Good grief.
And this is a different country, but this is something to think about. Power squeeze curbs Chinese growth, leaves Europe in a gas bind. I'm just going to read this one paragraph out of this. China's power shortages hit growth in the world's second biggest economy, threatening more pain for global supply chains. Yeah, folks, because China makes most of our goods. While Europe's gas squeeze looked to continue, Russia's Gazprom showed no sign of hiking exports to the region in October. Again, if they can't find heat and fuel in the European Union, people will become upset. If China's growth is really going down and things start tightening there, they can't supply or grow like they were. It's adding tensions to the nations that could lead to a lot of trouble for the whole world.
We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Just to recap the market today for gold and silver, gold was down 280 at 1,765. Silver was down 13 pennies at 2,327. Platinum was down 18 at 1,041. Palladium was down 60 at 2102. I get a lot of requests to go over the market numbers instead of right at the top of the hour. And I said, I've had so many requests to do that over the years. And I just end up, you know, forgetting. We start talking about things. So remind me, Butch, to repeat it throughout the, you know, one other time during the program. So
remind me about what? Remind me about what?
Just to do.
I'll do a bit.
You know what I just told you. I forgot.
Exactly. Exactly. I understand. But, you know, you said that you were covered up this last few days, getting caught up on orders. So that means people are moving, actually, to buying metals again. And I don't know, are you selling, is it a mixture of both or mostly gold, mostly silver? What do you sell most of?
Well, I tell you, there's been a promotion for silver in the past couple of weeks. And so it's been a lot of silver. But I give everybody the same education. You need gold too. Gold is your savings account. Silver is your checking account. And you got to keep those fundamentals because those fundamentals are what really will play out in the future. You know, it's okay to speculate on, you know, the bigger increases in silver and so forth. But, you know, and I've had customers who really put some big money into silver, and that's okay because they have it. And so, you know, smaller budgets, it's great, but you cannot forget your gold. And so it's been a mixture, but I've had probably some of the biggest buys in silver that I've had in 26 years.
Wow.
It's really huge.
Folks, pay attention to that. Somebody's planning ahead.
The big bucks.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
And I've always, gold, as you said, is a savings account, silver is a checking account, because gold, silver is easier to use in a smaller denomination, no doubt. Mm-hmm. And silver is going up, and percentage-wise, some ways faster than gold. That's also true. But I like silver. You know, I've always liked the Silver Eagles because I buy them for my grandchildren from time to time. When the birthday comes up, I send them a Silver Eagle. Just from Papaw, special thing Papaw does. And now's a good time to get it. Right now, folks, the prices are very reasonable. I'm sure the premiums still have, but the $23 or something right now, that's premiums have to come down a little bit. What are the markup now on premiums right now, Melody?
Oh, when silver prices dropped and the premiums went up, so particularly at the end of the year, because at the end of the year also we got this strong demand. And the mint is beginning to wind down the 2021 season. So they're getting ready to go into their 2022. So they've cut back all the allotments to the dealers, to the wholesalers. So, yeah, that's when the premiums jump. So, yeah, I would suspect here in the come, you know, December, end of November, middle of November, you're not going to be able to get Silver Eagles because of that. There's only so many of them made. And now's the year. This is the year you want to get the Silver Eagles. I mean, every year's good. Don't get me wrong. But you got to remember, the new design came out in June. So they only minted them from June, July, August, September, October. They're winding down. So you could see a little bit bigger premium on these at a later date and time. So it's another advantage to buying the 2021s. So,
well,
I have, you know, I don't know who pitches this, and our prices are so cheap compared to everybody else. It's ridiculous. I really should raise my prices, but I don't know who pitches this stuff. But they get people confused on type ones and type twos, and do I want a type one? Do I want a type two? And it's just like, oh please, everything up until June of 2021 is basically a type one because it's all the same design.
The only reason that we use the Type 2 on our invoices is for this year, so we know when we're shipping and so forth that, you know, therefore, you know, for the month of May, June, July, you know, which series is it? You know, so we'll just continue it throughout this year that you're going to be getting Type 2s, which is the new one, and the first ones were Type 1s. And it's no big deal, you know. People try to make something out of something that's so very simple. It's just the way we reference the Silver Eagles. And it's an education. You should know, too, that the ones minted after June of 2021 are Type 2s. Okay, great. That's all. Okay. There's nothing bigger about it. There's nothing, you know.
Nothing better. Just yeah, okay, got you.
Yeah.
Okay. So. And what do you buy junk silver eagles or any kind of precious metals? They're all good investments, aren't they?
They really are. 90% silvers, they got huge premiums, a little bit of delays on them, but still available. So,
right.
You give us a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. But there you go.
Okay.
What's next?
U.S. Treasury Deputy Secretary wants warns unvaxxed Americans that shortages will continue until everyone is jabbed. Really? The deputy secretary at the U.S. Treasury has put Americans on notice that the only way to end the plague of empty shells around the country is for every resident to be vaccinated. The frank warning came off as a threat to many. I'd say so. I mean, the only thing going to stop it is if we all get jabbed. Gee. Wally Adenomio, the Biden administration's second highest official in the Treasury Department, appeared to publicly blackmail the still sizable portion of Americans who have not been vaccinated against COVID-19 during a Thursday ABC interview, seemingly blaming them for the ongoing shortages of consumer goods that have led many to mock the president as empty shelves Joe. Melody, doesn't that like a threat to you? If you don't get jabbed, you're not going to get the supply line back up?
It's not only a threat, it's another division. It's a super division. It's pitting people against people. And being vaccinated has nothing to do with the empty shelves whatsoever.
No.
It doesn't have anything to do.
Yes, it doesn't. And it's just a really strong slap in the face to people with any kind of outrage at what's happening, and then to blame it on those who don't want their bodies invaded by something they don't trust, and say it's all our fault. That's causing further division, is it not?
Well, yeah, that's what I just said. And the thing of it is, it's the funny thing is the shortages are coming from overseas, from Asia. So why don't you go tell them to get vaccinated? So they go back to work in their factories so they can continue to manufacture the cheap trinkets they send to us and everything else. So don't tell us what to do. Go to them and tell them, hey, you guys go get vaccinated now. So you guys go back to work. You know, you start making so we can fill up. And what about the shortages of truck drivers?
Yes.
What's that got to do with the time of day? So, you know, it's what? Just because if you're not vaccinated, people don't go to stores to go shop. I don't get it.
There's no rhyme to it. That wasn't meant to be.
No.
Nearly 40% of California state workers are unvaccinated against COVID despite Newsom order. Now, that's huge, folks. 40% of them are not vaccinated. They're not going to follow it. And the state workers, are they going to be fired? I don't know. But 32 policemen in Chicago says they're not going to take it. They're walking off the job. And in a way, some good news. We saw what happened a couple weeks ago with Southwest. Last week, 2,400 flights didn't fly because of loss of personnel. They won't admit that, but that's what happened. United came out and said, we're not going to require the shots for our employees. Hooray! They won one. Isn't that good, Melody?
Yes, I mean, it should be a person's choice.
That's absolutely right. They're not going to require it. If you want one, go ahead and get it. But don't try to force this. So, was a Southwest stupid move cost them a lot of flights and probably a lot of business. United said we're not going to force that. We're not going to do it. But there's got to be a reason too as to why they want to slow down travel, especially air travel right now. There's something behind that more than just vaccination. I'm sure what it is. I don't know, but there's something going on behind that also. This to shut down airline travel especially this time of year in the holiday season, there's something not right on that story. Don't know what it is, but we have lawmakers out of Florida and other states also telling that we don't want Biden to require any interstate passports. There's something behind all this, folks. They don't want you to move around. We'll find out why it's coming. Now listen to this. Taiwan reports more deaths from vaccination than from COVID-19. No, I didn't make it up. That's true. More people have died from the vaccine than the virus in Taiwan. According to NTD News, 865 people have died from the toxic COVID-19 shots, while 845 deaths have been attributed to COVID. There are four vaccines that are offered in Taiwan, Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca, and Taiwan's own vaccine, Medigan. Over 600 deaths were tied to the AstraZeneca jab, and nearly 200 were tied to the Moderna shot. So, more people dying from the shot than from the COVID itself in Taiwan. Folks, that's not a coincidence. As I said a few days ago, Spain Supreme said that they can't find the virus that causes this sickness, apparently. So they're accusing the nation of making a bioweapon. Something to think about. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, I'm just thinking something's a little odd because they have, 23, almost 24 million people?
Yes, yes.
And 830 people died from COVID?
Yeah, 845, yeah. Mm. Yeah, 865 died after they got the shot, from the shot, is what they said. I didn't say if they said it. So I don't know. It makes you kind of wonder. I mean, you have to step back in and weigh the options here. The evidence is coming out all over the world. And when Spain says we're not going to give any more, that there is no such thing as a COVID virus, they said it. I didn't say it. There's something coming up that's going on that's behind the scenes we just haven't seen yet. When nations like Australia are literally putting people almost in prison in their own homes, there's something going on, folks. And it wasn't a coincidence that about 15 or so years ago, they had disarmed the Australians. That was not a coincidence. I don't know what's happening here. Russia, China put America on notice with hypersonic missile tests. You mentioned this earlier in the program. Russia recently announced it has successfully test-launched its new Tushkin Zircon hypersonic cruise missile from a submarine, the latest test of emerging weapons President Vladimir Putin has dubbed invincible. Putin has said Zircon will be capable of flying at 9 times the speed of sound. Wow. That is fast. And have a range of 1,000 kilometers, which is the 620 miles. Putin has emphasized that its deployment will be significantly boost Russian military capability. The Russian government has in recent years touted the development of weapons it believes will give it an advantage in any arms race with the United States at a time when tensions with the West are growing. And folks, they are growing. I don't understand all that's going on with that. I'm not involved that directly, but obviously it's growing. Tensions between Taiwan and China are growing every day. What that's going to be in the near future, I have no idea, but it's growing. So, this is what they're developing weapons, and I don't think we're keeping up with them like we should. They haven't been for a long time. All the reasons behind it, I really don't know, but we haven't been for a long time. Any comments, Melody?
Nope.
I mean, it is kind of scary. You know, there was a time when the world feared the country, and you feared the United States. Now, who fears us? I'll tell you who fears us is those people that trust us to defend them. That's one who fears. We'll just walk out on them. We have before. Vietnam, Afghanistan, other places we just walked out on them, left them stranded. That's who's worried about it. Mm-hmm. So, that's just something to think about. I mean, why should anybody respect us? What have we done over the last decades to deserve that as far as wars or doing what's right?
You know, I just want to do this real quick. An arthritis drug cost $198 in 2008. Guess what it is now?
What?
But sells for more than $10,000.
How much was it start with?
$198 in 2008. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And for why? Same drug, same nothing. The company who originally had it sold out, and you know they keep raising it and raising it and raising it. And we know nothing is made here. So, unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And who can afford it?
And it's an arthritis drug. Yeah.
Who can afford it?
Who can afford it?
Insurance ain't going to pay for it. I can't imagine Medicare is going to pay for it.
They're not. They're really not. And the last article here I want to get into real quickly is Jefferson statue. And this is Thomas Jefferson statue. It may be removed. That's more than 100 years of City Hall. Now, this, folks, is really a sad situation. For more than 100 years, a 7-foot-tall statue of Thomas Jefferson has towered over members of the New York City Council in the chamber of City Hall. That statue has stood by for generations of policy debates, thousands of bills passed in the city budget that soared to roughly $100 billion. It has also withstood another test of time. 2 decades ago, a call to banish the statue gained attention but went nowhere. But as a country continues a slow and painful process of determining who deserves to be memorialized in shared public spaces, the removal of the Jefferson statue is receiving far more serious consideration. Folks, tearing down statues doesn't change history. It doesn't. Oh, it may make it worse for the people in the future generations who don't know their history. But the history of a country is just taproot. That's right. That's exactly right.
Wow, that's what they want to do.
So sad.
They want to eliminate your history. We're out of time. So I guess that's going to be the end of this program. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, folks, be safe. Good night and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.